This podcast is brought to you by The Shift.
It's story time!
Hello and welcome back to the Storytime Podcast. My name is Claire. I go by Clizaire on the internet. And this is the podcast where people tell me their stories. And this week I have a repeat guest, Stephen Barry. Hello, Stephen.
Guest of the year, baby. Guest of the year. Back by popular demand. The fans wanted. I wanted to come back and win that belt of guest of the year, you know?
Remind people where to find you on the internet.
Is there an actual belt?
Sure. I mean, anything is possible.
I want to hold that gold.
Normal people.
I want to enjoy the alloy. Hey,
I would have gone for a medal, but I mean, I can do a belt.
I want to tickle the nickel.
Jesus.
I want to feel the steel. Let's
Stephen
go.
Stephen does not want you to follow him online.
My name is Claire. I go by Clizaire on the internet. I always laugh at your professionalism at the start. That's why you have 70 bajillion followers and nobody follows me.
That's definitely the accurate number. So search Stephen Barry on YouTube.
Yeah, there you go. So you're better in it.
Or Stephen Sings One, because we previously said it's because you're number one. You're the number one, Stephen.
Was that why we said it? Yeah. It sounds like something I'd say, but I don't think it is.
So Stephen Sings One.
Stephen Sings was taken.
Yeah. We should break that guy's legs.
Yeah, yeah. And so was, oh, I'm coming for him. I don't know what he's doing.
And then searching Stephen Barry on YouTube as well will get you some videos of yourself that aren't on your own channel. Some singing videos.
Some with clothes on.
Oh, yeah. You're starting an OnlyFans. I can see it happening.
We discussed this.
Didn't we?
You were going to start an OnlyPans where it's just you
cooking.
Oh,
yes.
Pans.
I forgot about this. Back and forth.
And then
it's
OnlyFans is where I just walk around the country with wind turbines.
Yes.
Looking at them. Going,
I'll put a link to the first episode
so
people can relive this. Discussion.
Not a big fan.
Oh.
Well, I feel like most of what I do with this podcast is try and annoy you and put you off from your professionalism, which is a nice balance. I do. My today's story time, Clizaire, is the return of theatre as it is and coming back to the world. I'm actually off to, by the time this airs and by the time you've edited it fancily and put it up, I should be in Cleveland, Ohio, back on stage, which is class.
Amazing.
'Cause theatre is returning in America, a little bit quicker than over here. But yeah, we're heading off to the States with a show called The Choir of Man, which is heading off to America. And we're in Cleveland for a while. And then all things going well and the world opening up and people getting jabbed and things getting cleared and all that kind of stuff. We'll be in Cleveland for 3 months and then on to the rest of the US.
Now, so we talked in the last episode about you performing on the cruise ships. So this
Double
is
espresso this time.
Oh, very good. So this is a separate endeavor.
This
like
is completely
theater.
Different. Yeah. So essentially, the cruise ship stuff is I have a company set up for that, and I do work in some of the shows that we've created and produced ourselves. But this is me being a solo person in somebody else's show. And I know the producer of The Choir Man very well. He's an amazing fella, a guy by the name of Nick Dudson. And
Dudson, what a great name.
It's such a good name, yeah. And I've had quite a few friends work for them, and every single one of them has just said, like, it's the best company to work for. It's the most fun. The show is amazing fun. So I've been pestering Nick, like, every sort of 6 months, being like, here, I hear you've got a show there about Irish lads.
I was about to ask you how you got in it, yeah.
Yeah.
I annoyed him.
Basically, yeah, 1,000 no's and a yes is still a yes. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. More consent. Me too. So what I'm saying is, if a girl turns you down, just keep asking.
Got it.
Oh, sorry. This is how you get views, isn't it? You say controversial things.
That's true, yeah.
It is true.
You should do a highlights channel where I just cut out some of your most controversial comments.
Oh, Jesus, I never work again. Or, yeah, just like, the thing is, I suppose, what sort of Irish phrases could you never say? Because,
oh, Jesus, don't go through them.
Yeah, we had great crack. That's Claire. Yeah. Every time I'm with Claire, it's just constant crack.
Yeah, I get a lot of. Did she just say crack?
Is she?
Say crack again. But yeah, so crack. What is this show going? Have you been in one of these shows before? What's it going to entail? Tell me more.
Entail, nice word.
I know.
Very fancy, yeah. You can tell you're a pro. You got the lean as well. You've got the podcast lean into the mic. So this show is, it's a genius idea, right? What they did is, what do people like? People like the pub. They like songs. They like singing along. They like a bunch of lads of all different shapes and sizes, and they like free beer. I put four fingers up, but I think I named five things. So they put all those things into this show. So the genius idea is Nick created it. And what it is it's basically a musical about a pub, but instead of pub having like a football team, like a Sunday league team or a rugby team or whatever, they have a choir. And that's it. That's the premise of the whole thing. And what they've done is they've gone for sort of nine archetypal men. So what's your type of man, Claire? What would you be into now?
Ginger.
Obviously pretend Alex, you know what I mean, isn't going to watch this. You know, obviously you've settled for
no,
Alex,
I actually do
but in
like
an ideal
gingers.
World, right? Obviously that's like, oh, everybody wanted baby spice. Do you know what I mean? Nobody wanted ginger spice, right? Okay. You're saying the company line, which is fine. Oh, I love gingers, but ideally.
I actually do love
listen,
gingers.
Listen, Alex and Chris Hemsworth are tops off walking down the beach, right? And both of them are eyeing you up. Just saying, where are you going?
Okay, you know? So my ideal man, let's say it's long hair.
Do you want
hair.
Alex
like
or do you want
hair.
To be Thor in the morning? Huh?
Yeah. So what are you looking for in terms of my ideal man then? I like long hair.
You like long hair?
I do like long hair.
Yeah. What sort of build?
I suppose fit.
Okay.
As I'm not a fan of too skinny now.
Yeah.
Rugby players, basically.
Right.
There you go.
So there's a man for you in the show.
Obviously,
you've already got Chris Hemsworth, Alex.
But if
on
I
the
liked,
string,
what so. If I liked beer bellies? Is there one of them?
There's a man
the
for
show?
You in the show.
Amazing.
You see? You know where
there
I was
really
going with
is
this.
Something for everyone.
You set me up, and I knock it out. So yeah. So what they've done is they've gone for if you're a man who likes men. There's a man for you in the show. So what they've done is they've gone for, right, what are the sort of, archetypal type of lads that you find in a pub?
So like alpha, beta.
Literally. So there's a lad, but what they've done is put different names on it. So there's the hard man, who's the gym obsessed muscle lad, who maybe you might sort of lean towards, you know.
Mm.
Maybe not, right? Okay. There's the pub bore, who has that one story.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about, yeah.
There's the narrator who is like, he's the kind of lad in the WhatsApp group who's A grade. If he confirms, everyone else is going to be in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If Dennis says he's coming for the night out, everyone else will fall into line, right?
Yeah.
He's the guy who can chat to everyone, keep everything going. There's
Are
the
you
Casanova.
Him?
No, you would think. Thank you, Claire. You would think.
Continue, Casanova.
Casanova, who every time he comes in has a different girlfriend.
Okay.
And we all know that type. But it's rather than being a player, he's the kind of lad who every time he meets a girl, this is the one. And then three weeks later,
serial monogamist.
Monogamist or polygamist or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So which one are you?
Will you let me do the whole run of people and then I'll tell you. You always rush to the end straight away. Then there's the Joker, who obviously is just taking the piss all the time. And, you know, the minute you leave your phone down, he's taking 10 selfies inappropriately. And
that's definitely that you. Kind of continue.
There's the piano man, who is accurately described as a professional drinker with a piano problem, who could have been a class pianist, but he loves the beer too much.
Yeah, brilliant.
How many have I done?
See, this is what I was worried that you were
forgetting some. No, I'm out. It's going to be really bad now. So there's the pub, fucking barman.
Oh, of course. Of course.
And the barman is traditionally like a big, larger than life character. Like every barman that you'd ever seen, talks a rakishite, talks to everyone and thinks, you know, solve everything with a pint and is a listening ear and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure I've missed some, but that's most of them. whoever I've missed now, if they watch this episode, they'll be like, oh, I see my character's not important to you. But anyway, the general idea is you have every sort of archetypal stereotype a lad in the pub. And, you know, each one of them has their showpiece moment, their song. And the rest of the time, they're all just singing and having the crack. And basically, it's a, you know, you just join them for a night out at the pub. And before, pre-COVID, the actual stage is a pub, is a working pub. So you come up on stage before the show. You know, the show might start at 8, but the doors will open at 7:15. You come in, have a few pints, literally on the stage.
And do you think they're going to be able to do that now? Because in America, they're all vaccinated, aren't they?
Ish, yeah, I think so.
Or they have vaccination, you have to show your vaccination at the door.
They've all been offered a vaccine. We could get into vaccines. That'd be good for controversy, wouldn't it? He's the 5G, the whack of 5G off me since I've had my vaccine.
I was about to ask,
crystal clear that picture is. That's Bill Gates directly now.
Yeah, right into the veins. But I was going to say,
hook him in there.
So, yeah, I was going to ask you what the requirements were for you to be able to be a part of the show and to be able to travel. I presume you had to be vaccinated.
I'll answer your other question first and then we'll come back to the vaccinations.
We'll get through all the questions eventually.
Yeah, we will. In a really it's a good inner workings of my mind. We go here and then we'll go down there, back up there, across there and back to here.
Perfect.
But everything will be answered. So I am Swing in the show.
Okay.
You know what Swing means?
No, like the dance.
Have you seen me dance? You would not have suggested that.
I haven't.
You would not have suggested that if you'd seen me dance. So Swing means you're covering a couple of roles.
Okay.
So I'm covering the Casanova, the Hardman, and the Joker. So I cover those three tracks.
I wouldn't have picked you out for the Casanova, but I'm not surprised about the Joker.
How dare you? If I wanted to turn it on, if I wasn't holding back my charm,
I was trying to say that you were a good, you know what I mean? Good gentleman is what I was trying to get out there. I wasn't trying to disparage your playing abilities.
So I cover the three of those tracks. So what's great about that is I get this huge challenge and learning experience. And what's horrible about that is I have to learn 150 pages of music in 9-part harmony 3 times in 3 different ways.
Christ.
So my head is fried at the minute.
And how long have you had to prepare?
The problem is it's been tentative up in the air because of US visas. Here's another whole thing. So we were going, then weren't going, then weren't going, then were going. And it's all been changing every sort of 5 minutes and 24 hours and all this kind of crack. We were actually meant to be literally on the plane right now.
Yes, because you had said to me, actually, you were planning on flying Tuesday, didn't you?
Yeah. And today is Tuesday.
What happened with that?
We have to go into the actual physical embassy and do your American visa interview. All the rules have changed. And now it just takes way longer for stuff to happen because of COVID protocols, I presume. So we were expecting, you know, to go in last Wednesday, which is when we went in, get our passports back on sort of Friday, and then be ready to rock and roll today. But I think even as of now, we haven't received our passports back or anything like that. So it's all very nervy. So like fair play to the lads who are producing it. They've had some big old Lerodi on them to like just plow on and be confident and all that. So because like we all took PCR tests last week, fit to fly tests, all this kind of stuff. And then we have to retake them and redo them and all that kind of stuff now this week. So it's all...
Christ.
A bit of a nightmare. So to answer your question, we've kind of had 2-3 weeks to learn it, but I've had other work as well. We were meant to be in America today starting rehearsals. So we
opened. How long will rehearsals go on? Oh, that's what I was going to ask. 2 weeks. Guys, so it'd be a total of 5 weeks you've had to kind of...
Yeah. And like the first couple of weeks is just like they give you the music, but you're expected to do a good chunk of the work at home if you can. So.
And when you say that you're a swing, do you mean that... Like, do you perform every night or do you only perform if someone...
I'm into swinging.
Do you only perform if someone else pulls out? Like, are you... It's not an understudy thing. I don't really understand.
So, swing is essentially emergency cover. So understudy is a good way of thinking of it. But you also have a guaranteed number of performances each week to give the lads a rest.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I'll go on a certain, I haven't even looked at my contract. I just trusted Nick. I assumed whatever he put in it, whatever. I'm happy to do anything anyway. It doesn't make a difference to me. But you'll do a guaranteed number of performances. But by and large, you're there to cover the main lads if they go down. Because they took a tour to Australia literally, you know, 3-4 months ago or whatever. I think they went in January and came back in late April or early May. And there's 9 cast members meant to be on stage. And I think at one stage they had only 6 people barely fit and hanging on.
Oh, God.
Some lad got bitten by a spider, like super Australian. And it, you know, took a big chunk out of his leg, and a poor Irish fella. Another lad like had to have his wisdom teeth removed, and then he tried his best to get back as quick as he could and actually came back to the show too quick and like burst his stitches and all this kind of stuff. Ooh. So they had all kinds of nightmare stuff. So I think this is the first time they have like put in, they said, we can't have that again. So we'll put proper swings in. So it might seem like the 2-week rehearsal time is short enough, but most of the lads have already done the show. For them, it's just kind of relearning, getting back into the groove. There's a few new faces, but like 2 weeks, if you already know the show, it's like, you know, it's just about basically stitching it together with the new few new people. So.
Well, that's good. And I, like, if you're not performing straight away then as well, you'll be able to watch the first few and it'll help you learn it, I suppose.
Yeah. Sure. It is what it is. Like, it's kind of thing. I don't think people realize this the whole time. This may be a good idea for story time. This is why story time is so beneficial to the people, is that the whole time you're out there, you'll have constant re-rehearsals and re-blocking and all this kind of stuff, like reshaping the show because, oh, Claire can't go on this week. So someone else has got to do Claire's part. Right. We've got a 3-hour rehearsal before the show on Thursday to put this other girl in as Claire, walk her through it, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. It's constantly going on the whole time.
So you do rehearsals before the actual shows every day?
Not every day, but as and when required. Like the first 3 weeks, it will be every day. Like
wow,
even with you'll have
like
a show in the
of
night.
Work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's one of those things that like it's a little bit like the iceberg analogy, you know?
Yeah.
People see the tip and like 8/10 of it is below the surface. So you might come to a show, like if you ever go to see a show on opening night, you should know that the actors you see on stage performing opening night, out of the previous 48 hours, they've probably been there for 36 of those hours. And they've had 4 or 5 hours sleep and come back because they've had to do, I think, all a technical rehearsal, which is like all the lights, all the movements, all this kind of stuff. And it's literally, they'll have been there since 10 o'clock that morning. They'll have gone all day. They'll get a break from 6 till 6:30 and then they'll go on and do the show for you at 7, you know.
Wow.
So that all that stuff is kind of going on in the background the whole time. But once you're up and running, it's a lot smoother, obviously.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as long as nothing is going wrong, if your show is at 8, you might be in the theater at 6. You warm up, have a nice stretch, go on, do your show, go home.
And so, sorry, how long did you say it was in Ohio for?
So it's actually kind of a here again now with COVID. It's a staggered contract. So we are set. We're only like tickets are only available for, I think, like a 6-week run.
Okay.
But with a 6-week extension. So what will happen is, assuming everything goes well and assuming like
the whole you don't get taken down by COVID yet.
100%. Cleveland doesn't get a massive surge, anything like that. The next 6-week block will open up and we can fill more and more seats and we can open the theater more and more. Because it's this huge, old, beautiful theater, but they've only got limited seating to start with, again, for COVID reasons.
And presumably, you guys will be a pod of sorts. So if you guys are careful enough, you should be good, wouldn't you? Unless, of course, you're going partying with.
I would never do that.
Yeah, I believe you. Millions wouldn't. Do you know, I think you're the first ever guest that I've had on story time that's like telling a story that hasn't happened yet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, a precognition story. Yeah, yeah. What's that movie, Inception or Memento or one of these kind of things? You
yeah,
know?
Inception.
What's the movie I'm trying to reference?
presume it's Inception, is it? No, I don't know.
No,
Memento.
It's the one where Tom Cruise knows about future crimes.
Yeah, I know. That's the one you're thinking of. It is the one, Minority Report.
There you go.
Yeah.
Can you say minorities nowadays? Who knows? Could get you hits. Just two white people talking about minorities, you know, we'll get in trouble. Minority Report.
Yes. So have you done a show like this pre-COVID? Sorry, go on. What did you want to say?
I was going to champion this show, actually, for one of the, to be briefly serious and briefly positive. Theatre is obviously one of the more progressive industries, fantastically open and stuff, but it still does have its problems relative, you know, holding a mirror up to society and all that kind of stuff. And this show, albeit it's a show started about Irish people in a pub and then became English and Irish because there's just not enough Irish actors to, it got so popular that they needed multiple casts. And so they had shows out. And then in the last year, with the sort of growing awareness, I suppose, of the importance of seeing diversity on stage and representation on stage, they actually recast all their shows with an active net of seeking minorities or people of color or underrepresented actors on stage.
Yeah.
And it's, I have to say, because it really annoys me, a lot of the like virtue signaling by giant global corporations who then will make no changes whatsoever.
Yeah, like Skittles is an example, with the, but like someone being like, oh, we have a rainbow package for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah, that'll solve all the problems.
Yeah.
This crowd actively said, okay, look, we're complicit in this. What can we do? Well, here's what we can do, which is make sure that we have a huge range of representation on our stage at all times. And they actively went out. And it's the worst process in the world, is finding good new people is the most challenging process. And it's expensive and it's time consuming. But they actually put their money where their mouth is and said, right, we're going to do that. And because any pub you do go to in the UK is a diverse spectrum of.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, in Ireland as well, like, it's increasingly diverse all the time. So it's good that it's representing that change.
Yeah, because previously it would have been quite homogenous in terms of probably 8 of the lads were white.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just how the theatre industry was. And they've made an active effort to combat it. So being briefly serious and being briefly championing them in that regard, which is class. So our cast going out there is just a complete mixed bag of all shapes, sizes, colors, races, backgrounds, origins, all that kind of stuff.
And so this kind of reminds me, actually, class. Being serious to talk about the show has reminded me, I should have told people where to find it or follow it. Is there anywhere online that
just look up Choir of Man.
Choir of Man.
It's everywhere. Yeah. There's lad runs the social media accounts. He's very good. All the right hashtags.
So all the updates about tickets and stuff like that will be there. And anything they want to share online will be on Choir of Man. I'll put all the links down in the description as well.
If
people are in Ohio, they can actually go see it in real life. How exciting.
You can see live theatre. And you get pints handed to you. So we can't bring people up on the bar anymore, obviously, for obvious reasons. So what they got is they have these paddles. I'm sure you've seen them.
Mm.
They have like a long paddle, literally a paddle for a boat with three holes at the bottom. So you put 3 pints in it and hand it into the audience and people take their pints. And
that's ingenious. I do think there's some things that's come out of the COVID that are very interesting and funny. Stuff like that, that's really funny. And that's pretty smart.
There's some stuff that's revolutionized. And you're like, how did we not just do that before?
Yeah. Yeah, like even I never recorded the podcast over Zoom before. And then that meant I couldn't have anyone that wasn't in Ireland. And like now I'm like, why was I doing that? I should have opened up the pool.
Yeah, to all your overseas listeners and friends and fans. What t-shirt are you wearing? What jumper are you wearing? There's a lot going on.
My own merch.
Oh my God, you have merch. Is it Clerch? Clizair merch.
That would have been you smart wearing your if clerch, I called bro. It that. Although it sounds a bit...
It sounds like a disease that you picked up, yeah. I went to Ibiza and I came back with clerch.
So my friend Orna drew this.
Is that meant to be you?
It's a picture of my face, yeah.
Yeah, she was very flattering, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's a very good friend. Actually, sorry, I did have a question.
You did?
You talked about the cast... you talked about being like a sing-along and that the audience could sing along. So they must be really well-known songs, are they?
it's all like literally the most popular songs and they've shoehorned them in to the story.
Unreal.
So the Casanova is obviously heartbroken about his latest girl leaving him. So he sings Hello.
Oh, by Adele. Okay, right. So, okay. So the music's going to be slightly easier for you to learn then.
Yes and no. So for example, like Somebody to Love by Queen. Ooh. Everybody knows that, right?
Yeah, but presumably it's hard to learn.
You know the second tenor harmony for the whole thing, don't you?
Yeah, I know the second tenor.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you also know the baritone harmony for it, don't you?
Yeah.
Like the whole way through. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. It sounds harder now when you point it out. Yeah.
Hey, I've got to be free, Lord. You know all that the whole way through.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It sounds harder now that you've been explaining it.
It's easy. Yeah. So like some of the songs are easy to learn and then others are just an absolute nightmare because it's just ooh, ah, oohs and ees the whole way. So
you only have to sing your part. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's one where Alaa sings The Impossible Dream. And the whole way through, you're just singing oohs. So it's okay. Very hard to like, there's no, oh, I dropped down on this word when every word is ooh. So a lot of oohs. But yeah, it's all super popular songs. So like, basically think of Glee, but better done in terms of less like schmaltzy. Do you know what I mean by schmaltzy?
Yes. Yeah.
Like less over the top emotional nonsense in terms of everything is so serious. It's like we sing Under the Bridge, for example, right? And I won't give away the gag, but it's three lads at a urinal.
Okay.
And it's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Like I went and watched the show and I was in pain laughing at. And all it is three lads singing Under the Bridge in three part harmony, but like just doing all the things that lads do at urinals, basically. Yeah. You know, a little bit of that sort of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So it's that kind of a thing. They've taken like really popular songs, put them in. There's a few nice moments in the show where we're serious. And then there's a lot of moments which are just like a great laugh. So you go away from it, the show itself. I don't know. Have you seen many musicals in London?
I have not. Alex hates musicals.
Yeah, I knew he was a man of no taste. You know, Chris Hemsworth loves musicals. I'm just saying. I could see you and Chris together. He'd wear your merch.
To be fair, maybe I fecked it up by making him watch Glee. He really hated Glee.
Oh, if you like Glee, you'd love this.
I did like Glee, but I really liked My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Loved that.
Right.
You haven't
really,
seen that.
Really resonated with you. Really hit home. Are we going back to why you got dumped on Valentine's Day again or what?
Have you seen My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
No.
Okay, so it's like a sitcom, but a musical sitcom. And it's just the singing is way better done than I felt in Glee. You know what I mean? It's really worked in. Songs are brilliant. They're all original. And then it's really worked in. You don't even notice when they start singing, kind of. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
whereas in Glee,
it's
it was
more
a
organic
real,
then.
Yeah.
Now
whereas
we're going
Glee,
to
it was
sing.
A real. Now we're going to sing. So yeah, I would love to see it.
Yeah, the reason I asked was there's like some musicals you go to, like if you ever get a chance, it's like go see Mamma Mia or Jersey Boys. And the reason why is you come out of it feeling class and wanting to go back.
Yeah.
You know you've not seen like Hamlet and Ian McKellen. you know you've not seen like thought-provoking and challenging drama, which is taking you out of your comfort zone. What you've done is you've had a great night out. And this show is the same. So it's basically you go to it, you're singing along, you're drinking pints, you're having a great time. There's probably somebody for you to fancy on stage in terms of out of the nine lads, surely one of them would do. There is a ginger guitarist.
Nice.
I'm just saying.
Ed Sheeran.
Hey. And you come out of it feeling class and wanting to go back. Like it's just how you've laughed for, you know, a couple hours and all that kind of stuff. So it's falls into that realm. It's like popular theater as opposed to, you know, we're not doing Shakespeare, basically. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, should
and
be a good crack. When will
one
you
of
know
my very good friends
go?
Is, sorry?
When will you know when you can go?
I mean, I'm literally like kind of half waiting on texts to come through to say we've got your passports. As far as I know, we're flying on Thursday. Today's Tuesday, for the sake of a timeline. So up to London tomorrow. We're actually going to rehearse in London. It was unplanned, but like we're losing time now. So
yeah.
We're going to rehearse tomorrow. And then we're hopefully flying on Thursday.
And so we were saying that it's a 6-week run initially, and then it might get extended by 6 weeks. And then what's the plan after that?
So after the plan, I think it's all still a little bit, everything's in pencil because of the nature of the world as we live in nowadays. So it's then there is a US tour, which is going to go out if things are going well in terms of like theaters are open and people can actually come. Because there's no point putting on a tour, which is ridiculously expensive, if you can only sell 20 tickets per place because of restrictions. So I think Broadway's planning to reopen in September, which will be quite a good like gauge for the rest of the theater industry in America. So if that goes ahead and that's all cracking on and, you know, it's triumphant return, there'll be a huge upsurge in people wanting to go back to the theater and having confidence to go back to the theater and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. So with a bit of luck, we'll do 3 months in Cleveland and then see what happens, basically. And then it'll be a little bit like I cannot wait to do the 3 months. And then it kind of puts me in a good position because if I'm covered in three roles, it means if there's one job up, I can, you know, resubmit and reapply if one of the other lads doesn't want to do the tour or for any reason or whatever. Or you never know. You never know what's happening in 3 months. The whole world might be wide open. I might be a huge YouTube star then, just living.
I was just about to say, you're an active blogger and YouTuber. How are you?
I don't want to brag, but you brought it up. and I do want to brag. So I hit 10K recently. So
congratulations.
To be honest, at the rate that I'm growing, I'll probably be too big for you soon in terms of status. So like anything you want to say to me, probably say it to me now, because in the future you'll have to go through my people.
Fair.
Like right now you have my direct number and whatever, you know, it's not weird. Okay. But like in the future you might text me and I'll be like, oh, who dis? Saz, please talk agent. Because I'll probably
you'll
be
just
online.
Stop using prepositions when you're famous.
That's what happens when you get super famous on YouTube. You just don't use preposition.
You go live, don't you? So you'll be able to fit that in.
I haven't done in ages. And I tell you why is because I have been working quite a lot. Because with a definitive like future in place, which is I'm now an employed actor again, which is great. I've had to do quite a bit of work, you know, the kind of things. And so I haven't done any live, I haven't done any singing, I haven't put any stuff up in ages because I'm either working or try to break the back of this show. Like I said, I'm learning basically 600 pages of music. Oh, the other part of the show is everyone plays instruments. So I've got to play about five instruments in the show. So you see the old tin whistle is in the background there. And like everyone plays everything from like fiddle to cajon to guitar, banjo, ukulele, tin whistle. There is trumpet, like percussion. Like it's mad. Everyone plays everything in the show. So
you're lucky you knew how to play all those instruments.
Listen, you lie about it. And then can I ride a horse? Absolutely. Sure. I won the Grand National 3 years in a row. You lie about it. And then you learn afterwards. That's the key. have you ever done that? Have you ever lied about anything? I tell you how.
Well, I'm sure I've lied about things. Yeah, absolutely. But I've never lied about like being able to play an instrument because then
The last thing you lied about?
Oh, God.
A proper lie, not like, oh, yeah, I totally looked for that. Can you get it for me, honey?
I was like just, I don't know if this counts as a proper lie, but last night I lied about how long the TV show was going on for so Alex would stay up and watch it. I was like, there's only 10 minutes left.
Why do that? Yeah, I do that.
That might be too light of a lie.
That's light. Yeah, I think that doesn't really count. Oh, yeah, it's nearly done. It's nearly done. Oh, stay up and watch it. Yeah. we've been watching Line of Duty, me and Big Mary.
Lots of people are talking about this.
Yeah. My mom's much more of a social media star than me. At Malba Books. She used the pandemic to become I should get her on to you, actually.
Yeah.
It's a great story. Like, basically, her work was all travel. She does behavioral response training with animals. And then, obviously, COVID went, no, you're not doing that anymore. So she had always wanted to write children's books. And she is super brainiac, doctor of science, lecturer for years, incredible genius mind. And what she did was she was like, okay, most books go down this route. I want to do basically sound-based learning. So her first book is called What's an Og? And it's for young readers. But you'll find there's an og in every dog. And it crumbs in green in the shape of a frog. And so they recognize pattern. So whenever they see OG, they know, okay, that means og or Philip DeFranco, one of the two. Yeah, brought it back.
Well done for bringing it back.
I should get her on to you to have a chat, actually.
Definitely.
It's very interesting. And whenever I post anything about her online, everyone oh, I love her. I love her. And then I'll post myself singing something really impressive. I get one. And they're desperately craving attention. And then my mom will just be in the background doing something like she did there, at the start of the video. For people who didn't see, it probably won't make the edit. My mom crawled in on her hands and knees in the background.
That's a slight fully exaggeration. But she peeked in to see what we were doing and you were bugger off. Right. So we need to get you back on story time in a couple of months' time when you have all the juicy stories from the show.
No, here, you're not getting out of not telling me a good lie you told.
I cannot think of one.
You're just such
I just don't lie.
A good person.
I can't think of any. If I think of any, I'll tweet it at you.
I don't use Twitter.
Oh, sorry. Yes, you don't use. I'll send it to you. I'll Twitter's DM you on Instagram.
Twitter's a cesspit.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah. What's the worst interaction you've had on Twitter?
Oh, well, I think I might have talked about this in a previous story time. I can't actually remember, but when I was working as a journalist, someone was creating. I was.
Go away.
Yeah, digital journalist. And a guy.
A DJ.
Presumably a guy.
DJ Claire.
Continued to create new accounts so he could continue, because I would just block them and he would create a new one with the same username and just an extra number on the end. And basically, all of the interactions were incredibly detailed, violent threats. I know where you work. I'm going to come and do this, that, and the other.
Jeez.
And I went to the guards, and the guard goes, what do you want me to do about it? I was
I have some suggestions.
No. And he goes, what? He's like, an anonymous account, what can we do? And I was like, can you not, trace an IP address or something? He's like, Jesus, no.
That's super and then Irish,
he goes,
isn't it?
Yeah, and then he goes, he's probably only messing. Just give it a while. And I was like, well, hopefully he is messing. And then I backed off anyway. And then he rang me 6 months later and he goes, I'm just back from, he'd said to me, I'm going on holidays next week, so... You know, just give it some time.
Don't get murdered for a week or two.
And then he rang me 6 months later. He's like, just closing off cases here, wondering, did that resolve itself? Or I was like, yeah, after 3 months of messaging me really violent threats constantly, he did eventually get bored and stop. And he goes, I told you he was messing.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go.
Was there any root cause of it? Or do you know what I mean? Did you put up something that he vehemently disagreed with and then took umbrage?
I presume so, yeah. So
a general,
you were
a female talking and he decided, no.
Well, I was writing a lot of stuff, so it could have been anything.
Anything.
Yeah. But yes, that was the impression I got, was that there was at least one, if not a couple of articles that I'd written that he'd disagreed with. Because I also, I wrote all the news and entertainment and that sort of stuff, but I also wrote a lot of opinion pieces.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Shock, as Claire has opinion on something.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is so funny, because a lot of my opinion pieces were like, why Miley Cyrus is, you know, doesn't deserve all the hate. And it's like, wow, you really got that upset about that?
You're really going to go there, okay? Yeah. You're really going to bring up the hot topics of today, are you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a Miley stan.
Yeah, Miley stan, what does that mean? Stan is when you're a fan, isn't it?
Yeah, super fan.
Is that what it means?
Well,
that's how old I am. I see people stanning things and I'm like, I don't know what that means. I always think South Park. Stan from South Park.
Oh, sorry, you're actually right, because I was like, where's the tea come from? You're right, it is. It comes from Stan, not from South Park, but Stan from the Eminem song. Remember when Stan...
Oh, Dear Slim, I wrote, but you still ain't calling.
Yeah, so you're a super fan.
My phone number at the bottom. I sent two letters back in autumn. You must not have got them. There must have been a problem with the post office or something.
The name Stan comes from that super fan in particular.
He's gone cold. I'm wondering why.
Remind everyone where to find you on the internet on your travels.
At Stephen Sings, and then the number one at the end. How are we doing for time, by the way? I know we have to...
I'm trying to get you off.
that was the hint I was getting. So I've got one more story, which is about a half an hour long, which I'll just tell in great and intimate detail from the very start to the end.
And it's this Stephen one has with a lot of long,
a lot of long pauses. But that's for theatrical effect. Stephen with a PH at StephenSingS1. But if you look up Stephen Barry on YouTube, you'll find me singing some shite in a barn or jumping on a horse or doing anything like that. And there'll be a lot more videos because one of my best friends is doing this tour in America. And he's actually playing the piano man. He's a genius musician. So we're going to make a rake of videos together. So
brilliant. Yeah, that's what I was wondering about yours. Yeah, and I presume you're going to be updating on your Instagram pics and stuff.
I will, yeah. Probably tops off. Probably with like a can of grenade because...
Yeah, I love that.
Well, they're very good to me and they send me stuff. So I'll advertise anything. Send me some clerch. I'll advertise it. And I'll swear by it. Whatever it is.
I'll have to send you some merch.
Watch. Mmm, mango. I really was able to perform perfectly on this podcast because of this mango. See that? And like a little flick and everything at the end. So if anyone's out there watching, you have any product whatsoever to sell, it doesn't have to be related to me in any way, shape or form. I will swear by it. Like, whatever it is. These Marlboro cigarettes are the only cigarettes I give my children. Ooh, taste the rainbow.
Great to talk to you again, Stephen.
All right, all the best. Lovely to see you.
And best luck in your show.
Thank you very much. And listen, we'll do an update on something.
Thank you so much for coming back on. Thank you so much for... Wait. Thank you so much for watching. If you could give us a review on iTunes and Google... So the podcast is available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music.
Most of the time I try
Spotify.
And put Claire off because she's so professional.
And it's working.
And I've managed there. Yeah.
And if you could give us a review on one of those platforms, that'd be really helpful. Push us up the L charts. And thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for joining us again, Stephen. Best of luck on your tour. And we will have you on
Everyone
again.
Everyone who comments, likes, rates or reviews, Claire will send you a free hoodie.
That's not true. And we'll have you on again to spill all the dirty details and the juicy goss from your show when it's done.
When did we become TV3 expose? In the last 30 seconds. With all the dirty details and the juicy goss. We go live to our showbiz DJ, Claire Cullen.
Goodbye. Thank you so much.
This podcast was brought to you by The Shift. For more like this, check out theshift.ie.